So Nikki, we kind of took a week off after we had our fun little Halloween vacation. So how have you been?
I've been pretty good. Nothing too crazy, just, you know, finagling and big news, I guess, since this is coming out. When we record is completely a different time frame when it comes out, the episode. So I guess I can say it. I've been kind of keeping it under wraps for a bit just because of wanting to surprise specific people in my life. But the most exciting thing I could say that's happened in my life is we have a new fur baby. We got a puppy recently.
I love your new puppy. She is so precious. So thanks. Precious.
Yeah, it's been a long time in the making. And since we pretty much found this specific breed and everything, so it's been a long time and we're happy to have her here with us finally.
I'm so happy you have this sweet little fur baby in your life, and I want all the pictures because she's just so adorable.
Thanks. Yeah, she is just a ball of fun and getting into a bunch of puppy shenanigans.
They're always tough when they're just puppies. And yeah, mine, I'm not very good at the dog training thing at all. So mine are kind of still puppies, even though they're like, one of them's like 10 years old.
Oh, they are so sweet. I'm sure that the listeners have heard yours once in a few times within the episode, but it's fun. I enjoy seeing them kind of as your little co-hosts in the back that sit and show up every now and then.
I actually had a pretty interesting time since last Halloween when we got to talk. So that same day, actually, I ended up going to AWA, which for anybody who's unfamiliar with AWA, it stands for Anime Week in Atlanta, which is an anime convention that happens in the Atlanta area. And it's probably one of my favorite conventions, especially since they have made the change. It used to be in September and now it happens at the end of October. So Halloween, but it's just a lot of fun. It's just a good time. And I actually got to host a panel for the event while I was there, which was just an absolute blast.
And this was your first panel, wasn't it? Your first official?
No, actually, I've done this particular panel a couple times, and it's just a lot of fun every time I get to do it. And what we're doing for the workshop is I like to do prop building and like accessory building workshops, so other cosplayers who might be new can make something with their hands and are learning a new skill that they can take with them to take back to their cosplay. So it's a lot of fun. For this one, we were building Bowsette crowns or mushroom crowns from Mario, so you could become whatever princess you wanted to be. And like I said, I've done this a few times. It's been pretty successful all the different times that I've done it. This time was probably the biggest time that I've done it, though.
Yeah, I know we were talking off the show for a bit about it, and I know it's just like super exciting that you get to do that, and it was such a great turnout as well. I think it's also great, especially when I get to see a lot of these different cosplayers where they make these crazy, awesome, intricate cosplays. Yes. Like the one I had sent you on TikTok about a week ago, the girl that made the Charizard costume and it had the smoke coming out. And
yeah, that's super awesome. I actually have been considering trying to get into a build kind of like that. I'm starting the planning process for making my very first fursuit. Don't at me, anybody. Don't tease me, anybody. I've accepted a long time ago that I belong to the furry community as well. Most of my cosplays at this point actually are different animals or Pokemon. And I was just like, I might not have a full fursuit yet, but I do actually want to try to make something. I'm thinking about making a cool original character Griffin is what I would like to create. Cool.
That'd be exciting. I know that it's one of those things that I feel nobody should go after anybody in the con community. I feel especially the con community is very supportive in that sense. But to be able to actually sew and create your own cosplays is a whole nother level that I have not really achieved myself. The closest thing I could say is my Poison Ivy cosplay that I've done.
I love your Poison Ivy.
Thank you. That one was literally buying a corset and everything and hand gluing with a hot glue gun all the individual leaves. So that's as close as creating something from scratch. But anybody that literally, like yourself, sews a whole entire suit, I give such props to, because it's just so much time, energy, and resources. And also a lot of people that want to purchase from commission artists like yourself. So shout out to Rachel. If anyone needs commission, hit her up. But people just don't realize how much time, effort, and money goes into making these cosplays, I feel.
It can take a lot of time and a lot of effort, and it's very expensive. I try to be as thrifty as possible when I can. I definitely go on sales days, collect my coupons, that sort of thing. But it gets very, very expensive very quickly. And sometimes like I'll forget that about cosplay, and I'll like try to commit myself to too many things at once. Like right now, I'm still going to do it. Don't, like, if the people who are part of this group are listening, don't worry. The costume is getting made. It's fine. But there was like this one costume I committed to a couple months back that ever since then I was kind of dreading right after I did that. Cause I like thought about like the cost, cause it's going to have like this cool, like it's a Xerneas cosplay from Pokemon. For anybody who's familiar with that Pokemon, it is a deer with rainbow antlers that kind of light up. And I decided I wanted to do this particular character because I've been wanting to work more with like LED strips and LED lighting in cosplay for other projects, bigger projects that I would like to do in the future. So I want to get some practice in with these antlers. So I was like, I really want to do this with the antlers. And then I like was like, oh yeah, like lights cost money, and
they do,
and I want to use foam and stuff for the antlers, and I'm probably gonna have to like come up with some kind of helmet piece for everything as well. And I was like, this is starting to add up very quickly for something that was originally just a bodysuit and a cape. And so It can be easy to forget that about cosplay and bite off a little bit more than you can chew sometimes, but it is a very fun hobby, and I enjoy it a lot.
Definitely. I think my biggest task that I want to take on here soon is making legit wings. There's this fashion designer called Kendra Jade. Look her up. And she makes the most gorgeous, fabulous wings, all from scratch, all herself, and I'm very inspired to want to do it myself, and eventually I'll get to it. Ultimately, my goal would be to dress and cosplay as Angewoman from Digimon.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
So it took us some time, and I would say everyone is just still completely freaking out over this TV show for good reasons. And it came out back in September, I believe, and it took me some time to get to it. And I finished it and reached out to Rachel and said, let's do an episode. And you were so down for it. And we are today talking about and reviewing the crazy TV show Squid Games.
Yeah, so Squid Game, I always have the hardest time getting like Clay to like want to watch these kinds of things, because we are both just like that kind of, we try very hard to watch things with subtitles on, and we just can't, like we miss a lot of things. It goes by too quickly. He's a much faster reader than I am, but I'm a very, very slow reader. It like takes me 10 years to read one sentence. So subtitles are very, very difficult for me. Like people are like, oh, you just can't read. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly it. Thank you for teasing me about it. Like, yeah, like it's just very hard. And So I kind of have to watch things with dubs. Otherwise, like, just to be able to understand something, I have to like pause on every frame. And believe me, you do not want to watch subtitles with me, because I will have to pause it on every frame to be able to read it. So we watched this dubbed, and at first he was like, I don't want to watch this because I hate it when the like lips don't line up and it just takes me out of it. It was so hard. And then I was like, this has been number one on Netflix for how long? Can we please watch it and see what this is about?
Definitely.
As of us recording this episode, Squid Game has gone down to number 5 in the top listing. But even then, to still be in the top, even to still be in the top in number 5, and to be in number 1 that long is so amazing to me.
Yeah. The thing about this particular TV series is, compared to any other Netflix original series, is this hit the top charts the most fastest out of any other Netflix series that has come out since Netflix has been around. And I think that even speaks volume itself.
And I don't think anybody was really expecting it either, because I knew nothing. Like, they didn't advertise it in any kind of way. Yeah. They didn't make any big kind of deal about it. It would show up on my recommended for Netflix, just based on all the other weird stuff that I watch. And I was like, I'm definitely interested in it. But at the time, like, Clay was always at the house and we were always there together. So I was like, he's never going to want to watch this with me, so I'm not even going to try. And so, but then we watched it. It was freaking great. And I just like, it was just such like a out of the blue, just.
Yeah, definitely. It was one of those things where it, for me, I have to agree, I didn't see any kind of teasers or nothing. It just kind of hit me in the back of my head. And it was one of those things that I saw it trending and I was thinking myself, I don't know about this, because I didn't know enough about the story. And it was more of word of mouth through a lot of friends that kept saying, including yourself, have you watched the series yet? And it finally took a day where we sat down and watched the trailer and we said, all right, let's check it out, give it a chance. And wow, we were not disappointed. This show literally gave the feels, a little bit of laughter here and there for specific moments from certain characters, and just the storyline. And from start to finish, it was literally one of those shows, I need to see what happens next, but I'm glad we kind of spaced it out where we watched an episode a night.
We watched this show in 2 sittings, and only because, again, like, it was just like out of the blue, out of nowhere kind of thing. And I always like, especially when things start to blow up like this, as far as like a pop culture phenomenon kind of thing, I really want to try to get to it earlier rather than later, so the internet can't try to form my opinion about it later, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and let alone spoilers, because there were so many times where I was on TikTok and the song, the main red light, green light song would come on, or videos of people doing their own Squid Game at home, and I tried to skip past it. And sometimes I would see them specific things and I'd watch it and it wouldn't correlate to me and it wouldn't make sense until we finally got to that episode. And I say, oh, okay.
I see. Yeah. And that was just it, is I didn't want anybody to tell me if it was good, if it was bad, or give me any kind of spoilers. I just wanted to go in and see what it was and decide for myself how I felt about it. And so it was just kind of late night. Like, I had just convinced Clay, like, hey, let's watch this. And we got, I want to say, about halfway through it. And it was just like, okay, we need to go to bed. Like, we're so tired right now, but it's like, I just want to stay up and watch this. Spoilers are ahead. If you haven't watched this week's show or movie, stop now, go watch it, come back. We'll see you soon. Trigger warning for this episode. If you haven't seen Squid Game, for one thing, why are you here? Go watch Squid Game and come back. For another thing, just content trigger warning, this very violent show, very violent content that we'll be talking about. It does cover subjects of self-harm and suicide. So please, listener discretion advised.
So getting into what this show is about, just reading off the description. So hundreds of cash-strapped contestants accept an invitation to compete in a children's game for a tempting prize, but the stakes are deadly. And let me tell you, they are definitely deadly.
Oh, yeah.
We want to just forewarn anybody is we want to apologize way in advance if we do not pronounce specific names correctly. And it's just one of those things that we want to obviously do well with this, but it's just something that, again, we apologize.
We will do our best.
Yes.
So I really enjoyed how they started out introducing us to 456. I could not stand him. I spent most of the show just like, why do horror shows always have to just give me the most piece of crap person to follow around? Like, why does it have to be this person I don't even want to root for? I don't want to root for this guy. He's a bad dad. He's an even worse son. Like, yeah. I didn't really like him, but then just getting into it and then getting into the actual games and getting to know all the different characters and getting to see all the different characters. I think one of my favorite things about this was the fact that it was such a large ensemble cast.
Sorry. It's one of those things where I feel when it comes to films, you're typically, or TV shows, you're given maybe 2 to 3 main characters you're focusing on. But what, we had like 6, at least 7 main characters through the whole series?
Mm-hmm. We had about 6 or 7. And then even then, I feel like they did a very good job of touching on other supporting surrounding characters. I think they just did a really wonderful job of just building up this idea of who all of these people were, to where honestly I felt worse for losing some of the supporters than I did some of the main cast that we would lose them sometimes. Like in the one game where you found out that the partner that you were going to be playing with, you were actually going to be playing against instead of with, I like still go to sleep at night thinking about the married couple who went in, and I'm just like, I can't even imagine
that game. That's the thing going into this show, is there are 6 games total, and each time obviously people are dying off, and each time I try and think what is going to be the twist, and that was the twist. Literally was, you pair up with somebody and you think, okay, yeah, like if we were in the games, let's pair up because we're going to be a great team. But then the outcome, where exactly as you're saying, my heart broke in that moment, where I just had a feeling at the beginning of that episode where I said, well, what if you're going against your partner? So
most games, like most children games, are versus games, not co-op games. So yeah, it was so hard to watch that, because my heart broke for them, because I just put myself and my husband in that, like, and I'm just like, we would just be throwing our marbles at each other. Like, we would both end up getting shot just because we wouldn't play a game and we just throw marbles at each other. But it was, and then on top of it, like having to watch our actual main cast go through it, I'm never going to forgive the doctor. Or was he not? He wasn't a doctor. What was he?
The old man?
No, the accountant guy, the friend who was rich.
Oh, yeah. We don't exactly know what he was. He wasn't necessarily rich. He was just some guy that went to a really well-known elite college, university. And we don't know 100% what happened with him.
What he did to Ollie.
I messaged you after watching that, and that episode was, there's a lot of moments and points in the series that I cried, but I cried so hard after that episode. It was just so hard to watch, because Ollie did not deserve that. He didn't. He played fair and square, and it's just crazy that you see how Sang-woo's character went from, I feel in the beginning of the series where there's something sketchy, but it doesn't seem that bad mm-hmm. until the end, where he is a completely, totally different person at the end.
Honestly, and I think he even realized that right at the end, yeah. where they're at the end of the Squid Game, and it's just him. It's just him and 456, and I think in that moment when 456 comes back and he's like, I can't kill you. I can't. Yeah. I think he in that moment realizes that he might have like had like all everything, literally everything. Basically, like he had the good job. He already had the money. He already had like the good college experience. He had all of this, and he ended up being the worst out of the two of them. When at the beginning, like I was saying, I hated 456. I was like, you're a terrible dad. You're a terrible son. You're just a terrible person. I cannot get on board with you. But then by the end of it, I was just like, you were the better person out of all of them. Cause by the end of it, you still couldn't bring yourself to kill anybody.
His growth as a character was so well done, because I have to agree, in the beginning, I was not happy with him as a character. And then over the time with main characters, unless it's Game of Thrones, I'm rooting for this guy, and his development was just so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And just the character development behind him was so well done. And I think that's kind of the demise of Sang-woo. Was, I feel, in that moment between the two of them, it hit him where he said, what have I done? And it was just the things he's done in this game, he wasn't going to be able to live with.
And like on top of it too, just the night before, 456 was, he was in love with her. He was going to get her. If it would have been them, he would have done the same thing. He would have probably killed himself just so she could have gotten to her brother, and would have just been like, just please take care of my mom or something. And for him to still come back and look at him and be like, I can't kill you, even though you took this woman I cared about, who I wanted to help get out of here, even though you took her, I still can't do this to you. I think that was really just like the realization for him that he might have made a lot of mistakes getting to the end of the game.
Yeah, definitely. And I just did not see when he kills himself at the end. It's crazy. Just, I didn't expect him to do it that way. I was expecting maybe he would have gotten himself shot by one of the guards, but not take his own life.
Honestly, that's what I thought he was going to do. And then just to see him stab himself like that was just so much. Everything in that moment was just so, so intense.
The thing with going back to Se-byuk, she was such a strong character, and her story was very just so sad to not see her make it out at the end, because I was really rooting for her in getting to have this amazing life with her brother. And the way that the show was going on, it made it seem like, especially when the guards would tell them what each game was and everything, they made it sound like there could be multiple winners at the end, at least to me, how I took it.
Yes, it really did sound like there could be more than one winner at the end. And honestly, I almost wonder, but probably not, because they probably would have designed it in a way to where it ended up with just two at the end. But I wonder if like maybe like two more people had made it to the end, like four of them, or even if she hadn't have died the night before, if it would have been, because it was supposed to be like a team game. You had, so I almost wonder if they could have possibly gotten more than one of them out of there had there been more players to actually create a team.
Definitely. And it was just crazy, that moment. I had a feeling is it the last episode that happens, the Squid Game, or is it?
I'm pretty sure it's the second to last,
I think.
Because I think it happens in the last one, and then they wrap it up in that in, by the end of the episode. I'm and lead sure, into the little, but... like, he's coming back to end the Squid yeah. Games.
But when she dies, I was so sad about that. But I want to say I did kind of have a feeling I saw it coming after she got cut when they were doing the glass bridge game.
That was so stupid. Like, how like, that's so unfair. Like, they talk about, like, that one guy goes on a whole spiel about being fair and blah, blah, blah. So yeah. they make it across, and then you're going to make the glass explode. It's amazing that your pink guys got out of there alive. Like,
right. It was a lot. And again, it was one of those things that I feel the show never fully said was whether there could be multiple winners or if it was just one person takes all. And I think ultimately we always know, again, unless it's Game of Thrones, that our main character is going to be fine at the end of this.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. We don't know if we're going to get a season 3. Maybe he gets back into the Squid Games and doesn't make it this time.
Yeah.
Which I'll be mad about, because I'm just like, go be with your daughter. Just go be with your daughter.
That ending, jumping ahead to the last episode, where he's finally the winner and it's a year later and everything, I really was upset to see the way that played out, where he wants to go get his revenge. Like, go see your daughter first, and maybe this might be the last time you're gonna see her. So,
like,
go see her,
maybe take a very large chunk of that money out of the account that the squid people control and give it to her so she can put it in an account that the squid people don't control, maybe. Like, do smart things. Like,
for sure. I want to get into one character that I was also really rooting for and sad that he didn't make it out, was Jung Ho, the police officer. I was really wanting him to make it to the end and be able to tell the police about this operation, but I had a hunch through the whole entire time that his brother was going to be the game master, and it just wasn't going to end in his favor.
No, I wasn't sure how I felt about his character, honestly. Like, the whole storyline, like, with his brother and, like, him, like, trying to, like, figure out the Squid Games, to me, like, if I'm being honest, it took me out of the story a lot when I was watching those parts. Like, I would, really? Like, I would kind of zone out and stop paying attention a little bit, as much as I, like, would try to actually zone in. I did pick up on, like, the whole, they were keeping extra bodies so that they could gut them
We still don't really know.
Yeah, honestly, like, what was going on, but they were doing weird things with the bodies, and but, like, and on top of it too, it was, like, just, like, very, very weird to me, like, the way he managed to get in, the way he was just, like, didn't know anything but was already willing to, like, take these dudes out, like, no questions asked. And on top of it, just, he just never got caught. He just kept not getting caught. And he was doing a lot of stuff where it was like, you should be shot. Like, they should have shot you.
Yeah. And that's, I would have to say, his particular character, I think that's essentially what it was in the storyline, was to show us the back end of the Squid Games and kind of more behind the scenes with, because if we didn't have his necessarily his storyline, we wouldn't have known what was up with the VIPs and
exactly all of that. And I was definitely happy, especially the end, when we got to find out about the VIPs and know more about that kind of behind the scenes of why the Squid Games is in existence to begin with. Mm-hmm. I found that a lot more interesting, but to me, I just, like, I really did feel like his story was very shoehorned in, even though, like, a cop taking interest and whatnot isn't necessarily that crazy. I just felt a lot of the way that they went about telling his portion of the story was just very in my opinion. Yeah.
I want to also add on with the VIPs. One thing that they left open for discussion and whether they're going to answer it in season two or not is just exactly who are these VIPs? Are they multimillionaires that are putting just money into this bracket? As obviously it's funny how full circle when first episode we see our main character Gi-hung going to the track, and that's kind of what Squid Games is. So are these VIPs just these people betting that have the money, or are they past contestants?
I was wondering that myself, if there was a possibility that some of the VIPs could potentially be previous contestants. Because yeah. even though our sweet boy 456 came out and said that he, like, by the end of it, he really didn't feel good about it. He didn't even feel good spending the money. Right. Like, he didn't want anything to do with this. I can also see the flip side of that being the people who are actually surviving the Squid Game and making it through the Squid Game very likely have that kind of mindset where I don't care. Like, you are literally, it's about me surviving this. You are just a pawn in that survival. So it, like, with that kind of mindset, I could totally see, for one thing, winning the Squid Game, and for another thing, wanting to be involved in the behind the scenes process after that.
Because there's still so many questions that need to be answered, such as exactly that, where Gi-hun's brother was the game master, and we find out in like so many episodes that he was a contestant himself at some point.
Yeah, and like, what about the rest of the pink dudes? Are they all past contestants? Like, yeah. I have so many more questions about this world. I'm definitely happy we're going back.
For sure. And that's what I'm hoping, because our police officer guy is in the archives looking through all of these different binders. It does seem that the Squid Game itself is not just in Korea, that it's in these other countries. And that's what's showing with these VIPs were from all these other countries as well. So where does it end and where does it begin? Well, we know where it begins, but how did it spread out so far?
Right? Like, and I feel like there's got to be more of an explanation for all of this other than I'm a bored old man with too much money and a brain tumor. Like, I just, like, I understand that can be why it started. I can accept that. That's fine. But I feel like to the scope that it got and to the fact that he's gone, he died at the end of the show. So he's gone. Why is it still going on? Like, if these are the reasons why it started, what did it evolve into from there? Because they're only giving us just like the tip of the iceberg kind of thing. And I want to know, what else is there?
In getting on to player number one's twist, I mean, there was a lot of different twists in this series. And for that, though, that was such a blindsided moment for me that I was not expecting, because I loved player number one. I had such a love for his character.
I was so upset. I loved him. I loved, like, every game I absolutely loved him in. Another thing we didn't talk about with the Marvel game was where he got lied to,
yeah,
and everything like that. That whole thing, like, just broke my heart having to watch it, and then just to find out that, like, for one thing, that dude gave number one gave 456 so much crap in that game, in the Marvel game, when he revealed, like, oh, I'm not actually suffering from, like, my brain tumor or my dementia right now. It's just that I was playing you to see what you would do, and I can't believe you would do this. MF, are you kidding me? You, what about your giant lie? Your giant deception? Like, no.
I think a lot of that had to deal with number one saw with Gi-hung what a good character he truly was. And he just, I think it was in that moment where he said to him, hey, I really am fine, in the sense of to snap Gi-hung out of it and say, hey, play fair, have integrity when you're playing. And so I interpreted that way, but yeah, still to a whole year pretend you're dead and come back and give this little, what, this 5-minute spiel of why you're doing this.
Right. And also like, he knew he was going to survive the Squid Game. He knew he was going to, like, they would take him in a corner, pretend to shoot him, and he would just go walk home. Like,
the thing about that too, though, is after watching the show and going on YouTube and searching the things that we missed, such as in Red Light, Green Light, you don't notice that his particular character doesn't get outlined from the little robot chick, but everyone else does. And
I didn't notice that. Oh my God.
There's a lot of things that they plant in this series, such as another thing is when he gets into the minivan when they're all going back to the games, is his character does not get pass out gas. He doesn't get knocked out.
I just figured they switched to a different character and I just didn't get to see him gassed.
So there's a lot of things that were premeditated and shown through this series that we missed, especially the big shocker that I was so mad about that I didn't catch was the games were on the walls the whole time.
Oh yeah, you didn't notice that? I noticed that like right out the gate. I was like, because I think I noticed the Red Light, Green Light little stick figures, and I was like, oh, all the games are on the walls. I couldn't figure out most of them. I figured they were going to play tug of war at some point, but they did like right there in the second episode. But yeah, all the games and stuff are on the walls.
But my main point where I was getting at with number one's character is I feel he had a fair chance through the majority of these games to survive. Besides, obviously, the tug of war, I know that he told them exactly how to play, which I guess that is obviously cheating in itself because he knew how to beat the system. Mm-hmm. But what if the other team was just stronger? He would have died.
I'm going to assume at that point they might have done something crazy, like done some kind of like pretend that the knife, like the little guillotine thing that they had to actually cut the rope. I have a feeling at that point they would just pretend that it was having a malfunction, threaten the other team to make sure that they don't drop him, and like come up with like some kind of like lie to get him out of it. That's the only thing I can think. But yeah, that's like the one that he put himself in the most danger for. But the rest of them, he was gonna make it out. He knew it. And especially in that marble game, he knew he was gonna get out regardless of who ended up with the most marbles. So like, I just like, integrity my butt.
Yeah, and it's just a whirlwind. The show is literally just crazy, and so many other characters we could get into the nitty-gritty about, but then again, this review would get way too long. I think just a few in particular. So the one lady, I don't remember her number, but the really wild, crazy lady, she was a fun character to watch, but
she was annoying at the same time. Like, I couldn't decide from one episode to the next if, like, I enjoyed watching her or if I just wanted her off of my screen right then and there. Though I did think it was unfair right at first when I thought they were going to kill her off when the Marvel game was uneven.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was so unfair when she survived at the end and unfair advantage. What?
I mean, like, it's fair, but it's also unfair. Like, I'm not, like, would have it really been fair to have killed her for not having enough players in the game?
Yeah, I don't know. It's that literally, that blew my mind how she survived, because literally the number was unfair, where there's been so many other things that were unfair in the game. So what the heck?
They just get to pick and choose what they think is fair and unfair. But yeah, I don't know. If it were me and I couldn't find a partner, I would definitely be very happy to know that I didn't just get shot over it. So how I know that obviously 456 only went through one, and everybody who survived that second game only or was it the third game? I can't remember. Only went through one because they didn't die. But how many of those honeycomb candies do you think they actually broke on set, like doing the little licks? Oh no, I broke my umbrella again. Can I get another one?
No, I can only imagine how many times the actors probably did break them and they had to pull in new ones. So I can only imagine. I'll say I'm excited for whenever season two comes out.
I cannot wait for season two. I need to right this second. I can hardly wait. And it's just so cool. Just like how weird, like, cause it's not even just the fact that it's a foreign film that made it to number one and stayed at number one for so long, which is so cool. But then on top of that, I know horror films are like more popular and whatnot now, but I feel like this kind of horror and whatnot still is more of a smaller, not as mainstream kind of market or what have you. And so I just think it's really cool that something like this kind of weird, this kind of scary, spooky kind of thing managed to make it to number one on Netflix for so long.
Oh, for sure. And let alone we're getting more worldly and cultural based shows.
Mm-hmm.
So the ratings for this, the critics gave it a 94% and the audience gave it an 84%. Not too bad, but you know what? I'm going to side with the critics, and I think they got this one right. And I am giving this series a large, extra large bag of popcorn. Just because it was so well done. It was exciting. I wanted more. I still want more. I feel a lot of my questions were answered, but I still need more. So well done.
I'm gonna be honest, based on like just the reaction that this show has gotten since it's been released, I'm really shocked by what you're telling me.
Really?
Yes, because for again, like the critics don't like scary movies. They don't. Yeah. They like to crap on scary things and stuff like this. So I'm actually really shocked that the audience is like a B. So like that's a little weird to me. I'm gonna have to second you though and give it an extra large bag of popcorn, some extra popcorn salt. But yeah, extra large bag of popcorn for me. And I can't wait to roll up to season two with that bag as well, because I'm so excited.
Same, same. Well, next week is going to be a exciting, fun episode, a blast from the past for 90s kids all alike. And your hint for next week is, I would say that I'll take a quote from one of the characters. You dumb babies! So I'm very excited to do this episode.
I'm really excited to do this episode too. Another quick hint is I actually did a TikTok using a sound from this show recently.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And so I, when you were like, yeah, do you want to do this? I was like, yes, yes, please. Right, it's been in my head.
Very good. Well, I think this wraps this review up.
Well, until next time.
Bye.
If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts.